B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. The Fanatic.
Santa Claus root, and they blame this fan base. It's really kind of pathetic.
It's absolutely the word I was going to say. It is pathetic. And, you know, they really need to stop feeling so sorry for themselves, because there are fan bases out there that are, he said they were cursed. Yeah, my dad's from Cleveland. Uh-huh. I don't think there's a more cursed fan base than the Browns.
So I feel so sorry for that work. I do.
Yeah,
I feel so sorry for him.
He's sticking with it, and I'm supportive of my dad, and he was a great dad. He said, "You like the home team, son," and I was like, "All right, birds all day." But I'll take that to the bank every day of the week.
I feel sorry, because the problem too is, like, you don't even know if Baker Mayfield is real. Yeah, in fact, right now it's pointing the other way.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
I mean, he's having that sophomore slump for sure.
Yeah, it's a shame.
A few less commercials, Kevin, a little more concentration on football.
I think you're right about that. Real quick, Ant, I just got to say, when you say the word basketball, it has a silent T, basketball. I get lit up for this Sixers team this year, man. You had me fired up for this Sixers team in the wake of an Eagles victory. That almost never happens in my life. I can't remember a time where I've been so excited or anticipatory of a Sixers season. This team is going to be phenomenal.
Oh, my God. And you know, they're so unique. Like, I hear people say, you got to shoot. You know, they can all shoot. This team's going to win in such a different way.
Defend.
And it's the beauty of this team is you're not copycatting. You're setting the trend. Nobody has a team that can match up against them.
You talked to Matisse yesterday with Mikey Miss, and he's in that rotation, and a guy coming into the league that's willing to defend. Like, that, to me, that... The fact that that's his staple and he knows it as a young player, that's rare in the NBA, where it's all about dunks and highlights and raining threes.
Yeah.
And he's going to come in and he's going to bust his hump defensively, and then he's going to try and contribute offensively, but he's going to come in and he's going to have that will to be a defender.
Well, here's the beauty of their rotation, in that they are very, very deep. And they're deep with... We talk about defense, and they're deep in a way where you get Scott, you get Ennis, and then you can play, because, you know, there are going to be minutes, and you're going to shorten some guys' minutes, and, you know, Big Al and Joe are going to kind of split some time off in load management. But Zaire Smith and Matisse Thybulle, and even Shake Milton to that standpoint, can get some good run.
Yep.
So they get some quality run at times off the bench. And you got some depth, young legs off the bench that can defend. Like, that's the thing that has me so excited. It's amazing, because I don't know what Larry Brown's... I meant to text him to see what he thinks, because he's such a David Tay of defense.
Oh, my, he could love this.
But I was just curious, just from a basketball standpoint, they are so... They might be one of the greatest... defensive teams ever assembled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying not to be so over the top and go, you know, too much with the superlatives, but I don't remember a team that can play this kind of defense.
Yeah, and you know, Larry. I mean, Larry loved guys like George Lynch, because he was a great defender, right? And he had to surround those guys around AI.
Yeah,
he knew that was the only way he could win with AI.
No, but yeah, I mean, that was whole yes, but. This team, length-wise and athletic-wise, and with the unicorn kind of status of Embiid and Simmons, wow! I mean, they're just going to be incredible.
It's a unicorn.
They're like
squad.
They're in these. Talk about the amoeba defense, where they just swarm on you. I don't know how. I don't know how you can get off. I don't know how you get shots. I mean, they're going to be really good, and they are. I said it all the time. You know, I say built for 16, man.
Yeah.
They're built for the playoffs. They're built to win a championship.
You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's in Marlton on this Football Friday. Let's head down to the Sunshine State and talk to Hal. What's going on, Hal?
Hey, boys. What's up?
Hey, Hal.
Brother.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, pull me off that speakerphone, Hal.
Hello?
Pull me off that speakerphone, brother.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep.
You got me now?
Much better.
Okay, sorry about that. Listen,
you didn't pull me off the speakerphone, well, did you?
Excuse me?
You didn't pull me off the speakerphone, did you?
No, you off there? Are you good now?
I'm not good, because you're still on the speakerphone. I only say it 100 times a show.
How's that good now?
No, get off the speakerphone. Yeah, I don't know which words you don't understand about get off the speakerphone, but get off the speakerphone, Hal. The audience can't hear you, brother.
Can you hear me now?
All right, you're not going to get off the speakerphone. Hal, can you get off it? For the love of Pete. I mean, do I say it 100 times a show? I don't do it for my own edification, because we can hear, we have headphones on it. But Timmy driving down the 73 in his car can't understand what Hal's saying. And he goes, click. Am I speaking English into this mic? Matt on the cells on the Fanatic. What's up, Matty? Matt, oh, I didn't click it. That's my bad, Matt. What's up, Matt?
You got all discombobulated.
Yeah. I am discombobulated. Matt.
Hello? You there, guys?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What's going on? So I'm kind of piggybacking off of, I believe, Kevin with the guy from the Vikings blog.
Right.
You know, let's fast forward, or rewind, I'm sorry, a week prior to them playing the Eagles. And there's video of their fans literally beating up Vikings fan, or Saints fans as they walk out of the stadium in a game that they won. Then the following week, all over their media, their news and everything, they warn them, don't wear your colors there. They're like a gang out in Philly and blah, 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 blah. You literally come here after you hung the beware a dog sign on the fence and drug your stick across it. Like, what did you think was going to happen out here? You know what I mean? It's been, what, like 18 months, and they're still talking about it? Like, usually I'm from Philly, grew up here, been here my entire life. I usually let this stuff roll off my back, but, like, this is just getting to be too much. Like, let it go. Y'all beat us last year. Like, let it go already.
Yeah, I think they'll never let it go because they got the old. They got faced. I mean, you think about it. They got faced.
They did.
It was the greatest face job ever, right?
Oh, I haven't heard that term in so long.
They got faced so big. That's why I brought it out. Because
they came out hot in that game too. They threw up that seven, but then, you know.
Classic.
They got faced.
They did. They came out, you know, swagger. They get slapped, and then the Eagles go win it in their house like it's today, and they turn U.S. Bank into our Airbnb. Come on.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But guys, I love the show.
Thanks,
Anthony,
baby.
I love you, bro. I met you, actually. You were at my office last year. You did the Sixers playoff game here in the studio, and I got to meet you afterwards. But
that's awesome, man.
This is my favorite show. I hope you know what I'm talking about, too. I'm not going to say where I work, but... this is my favorite show on the radio, guys. Thank you for what you do. I'll catch up with you later.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Thanks, man. Have a great weekend, right?
Thank you.
You too.
All right, let's go to Chris and Penn Salkin on the Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
What's up, boys? It's Freaky Friday.
What's up, Chris? What's up, buddy? Man.
Freaky Friday.
That Minnesota guy was fun, man. He was fun. My Uncle Kaz rest his soul. He used to have all these crazy sayings down in Port Richmond. He worked in the warehouse 35 years, and he was just a plain Jane Stern guy, and he say to you when you were like 10, you're upset a kid was starving. You said, listen, never pay no mind to a polished turd. And that's what that guy was. So Uncle Cash, God rest your soul, brother. Ben,
steal that Ben, phrase.
Ben, the kid's the president of autism. I spoke to Andrew last week. I tried to get on. You know, my son's 17. He's autistic. The first two preseason games, I'm section 104, 16 rows behind Sixers bench. I'd like to donate them to him to see if he can give them to a special needs kid and a parent to go down to a game that can handle that atmosphere. So if we can get in touch with him. You know, I'm going to teach a grade. My rep will give him some T-shirts and stuff.
That's beautiful. That's
I love right. Mike.
And Ben is such
a great dude.
He's a great kid, man. He really is.
His energy is infectious.
Dude. Yeah, he's just a great dude. And, you know, autism.
Good soul.
It's a challenging feat when you have a child with it. But, On other things, no worries, Ant. I know you got a little bit of worry. Carson's going to come out with one of those elite drives, and we're winning 24 17. And fly, Eagle, fly, boys. I'm going to drink one on you in about an hour. No, you
I
like
love
plan?
It.
Ooh.
Good,
Uncle
Chris.
Todd says, you're a power star. Let's go, boys. Bring them in.
All right, Chris goes, he goes into the mix for our call of the week. Because that's I got to steal that phrase. It's too good. Now, car of the week, Anthony.
You would love to steal that phrase.
Yes, I would.
And so you.
Our car of the week will receive a $200 gift certificate to Gold Nugget Jewelers. That is where Philly gets engaged. We'll announce car of the week at the end of the show. Also, Ant, it is the noon hour, and you know what that means. Goldenberg's Peanut Chews are up for grabs. A tub, once again, noon hour brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. So any good callers this hour, like Chris, will go into the mix to score that tub of peanut chews, also caller of the week. So a ton to get to here on the Midday Show. Yeah?
Yeah, no, on the text board,
oh boy.
Danny says, I want to call Jason every day and go on the speakerphone.
Go ahead, and you get the same exact treatment.
No, it's great when you get frustrated.
Well, it drives me crazy. Do I say it 100 times a show? 100 times a show.
No, but you, like, here's the thing. Small things.
Driving
like,
nuts.
Right. Like, here's the deal. Here's how I would handle it. Because I don't care about things, right? Now, you're right. And everything, you're right. It's a problem for people to hear. So you're correct. After the second time, when he still sounds like he's on speaker, I would have just said, yeah, dude, what's up? And then had one question, you know, whatever, one tit, and then you hang up.
And then blitz him?
Yeah, and not even blitz, you know, whatever, just move on. Because it's better than going to drive yourself nuts. Like, you drove yourself insane.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's disrespectful to this audience. Because
he's not meaning to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's just his own speaker.
I gave him very clear instructions, and I know that people back at the station, they say, hey, you're coming up, make sure your radio's off, and you're off your speakerphone or off your Bluetooth, and then you want to be fresh and just stay on it because, you know, either your buddies are sitting there or you just don't feel like
picking up the
phone.
I don't think he was being fresh. I just think he honestly was, there was something that, you know, there was cross between the two of you. That's all.
Yeah.
But you have a good ear.
Yeah, I'm a Sonic man.
You're about the sound.
I'm a Sonic man.
So I can dig it. You're about the sound.
610-632-0975. The sound of Chickies and Pete's in Marlton is in the background as everybody's enjoying cocktails and tremendous crab fries and food here. Come out and join us. We're here till 2 o'clock today. It's the Midday Show on a Football Friday, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12:22 on the Midday Show, live from Chickies and Pete's in Marlton, New Jersey. And time to talk to the man. We love talking to him. He was a big part of All-Star Day as well. He should.
OG.
Because he was an OG. That's right. He was at 97.5 The Fanatic well before anybody here. He is, of course, from ESPN. And us, Tim McManus, T-Mac. What's up, T-Mac?
That was a nice combo going on there yesterday. The cake and the champagne.
Right?
That's the rich life, baby.
That was all right, man. That's it.
Cake, champagne, and football season, brother. It doesn't go any better than that, does it?
That's a combo right there.
Oh, man. Speaking of a combo, Tim, how about a combination of three road games in a row, starting off with Minnesota this week? Boy, it's this is the teeth of the schedule beginning.
Yeah, and it's the Phillies' fault. You guys are aware of that?
So is that really true? This is a true statement? I didn't know that. Tell the audience, because I heard rumors. I didn't know that was actually real.
It actually is real. I mean, it's not the only reason that they're on the road for the bulk of October, but it was a factor when the schedule makers were putting it together. And the Eagles are the only team in the NFL this season that have three consecutive road games without a bye. And part of the thinking from the schedule makers is they thought the Phillies were going to be relevant and contenders. And so they put on what they called a stadium block for the bulk of October so that there wouldn't be a scheduling conflict in South Philly. So instead, the Phillies fizzled out to that 81-81 finish, and South Philly's going to be a ghost town while the Eagles are on the road for what Jason rightly put out is the teeth of this schedule. It's no easy thing, and it's, yeah, the Phillies factored into that decision-making for sure.
You know what's amazing to me? It's not like they have an, if they played the same building, I would understand, but it's not like they've had conflicts before. Are you serious? One of the great memories of 09 was the Eagles Giants and the Phillies Yankees World Series game at night.
And Pearl Jam.
Right, but that actually influenced their decision for this time around, because in 09 they had to change the time of that Giants game. If that was originally a 4:30 game, they had to move it to the 1 o'clock, and they didn't want to be doing those scheduling gymnastics. So that 09, while it was like, yeah, one of the great days in Philadelphia sports history, actually kind of factored into why they wanted to avoid it this time around.
I just don't understand, because it's you can handle both a Phillies game and the Eagles game.
I typically agree with you. There's like, you know, there's like 7 or 8 cities that have the similar deal going on where they share like a common footprint and common municipal services.
Parking.
Of course, you look at Oakland, that's like the one exception where they actually share a stadium, and that's why the Raiders are away for the entire month of October.
Right.
They're in London, they're on a bye, then they have 2 road games. But I agree. I mean, it's something that you could juggle if you really wanted to.
Well, I'll tell you what, the schedule makers didn't do a good job of looking at the Phillies history.
You know what I mean? Right.
I hate to take a shot at them today on the day that they're having their press conference to announce that the manager's fired, but I digress. Tim, where are we at on the injury front? What's the deal with Sidney Jones? It looks like he's a go, but is that a good thing?
Well, that's to be determined. I mean, I think that Peterson talking about Jones this week has been really interesting, and there's been different interpretations of, you know, is he down on him? What's he trying? Is he trying to deliver a message? And I don't really feel like it's a negative thing that Peterson has been pointing out, but he elaborated more on it today, just basically saying that there's like this mental hurdle that guys who've been dealing with injuries just kind of have to push through, this acceptance of, you know, pain or injury situations, and that you have to break through this threshold. And I think that, you know, the Eagles and Eagles fans have been waiting for that to happen with Jones. I mean, this is a case where I think it'll make you think twice almost about drafting somebody who's coming in with a major injury. Because, of course, the thought was, all right, well, he's a first-round talent. You get him in the second round, that'll turn out to be good value in the long run. But there's a lot to account for in those kind of situations, including the fact that, you know, this guy psychologically hasn't been able to, you know, be himself because of the physical limitations, you know, since he got into the league. So you're transitioning to the league, got major injuries, other ones creep up, and it's been a kind of a bad deal for the Eagles and Jones. But here's a spot where the hamstring seems to be getting better, where they're down some cornerbacks, they're going in against some good receivers, and, you know, this is a spot where he could maybe start to turn this thing around. So I don't know whether it's good or not. I mean, history says it's not good. But this is a young talent who they still believe in, who they're gonna roll out there on Sunday and see what he's got.
All right, so do me a favor and try to allay some of my fears for Sunday. Because I don't feel, I worry about the matchup against that team. And I know people go, wow, you know, it's Cousins, you can pressure Cousins. But they are a two-fold team where they can, you know, they have a great run game. And those receivers, I know they have had issues and they're grumbling, grousing. But those two receivers against the Eagles' corners, I mean, that scares the daylights out of me.
Yeah, a couple things. With Cousins, you know, he has a good history against the Eagles, actually. You know, he's 5-3 lifetime, but his touchdowns, he's got 17 of them, and that's 5 more than he has against any other team in the NFL. So he comes and he plays typically pretty well, including, in a last year Minnesota win at the Link, where he was completing a high percentage of his throws. And the other thing that kind of threw me off is, you know, I'm thinking this guy is somebody that crumbles under pressure, and then I looked at his numbers and his completion rate since he came into the league in 2012, it was like the third highest in the NFL when he's facing pressure. I was amazed by that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was surprising to me. But he can throw some interceptions in those scenarios. And I really do feel like, this game is going to be dictated, of course, whether Cousins shows up like he has in the past against Philly, but more specifically, whether the defensive line can take advantage of what is probably the best matchup for the Eagles on this day, and that is the defensive front against the Minnesota offensive line. If they can get pressure, if they can disrupt what Minnesota is trying to do offensively, if they can prevent Thielen and Diggs from having extra time to get open against what we've seen as a weakened secondary and cornerback group specifically, if they have that time, it's going to be a long day for Philly. I mean, so I think that the fears get alleviated if the defensive line can show up like it did last week against New York and put some pressure on Cousins and get him on his back.
All right, so real quick, I'm sorry, Jay, two quick follow-up because I'm interested in that D-line in that front. Do they do BG inside? I mean, he talked at length about how much he loved playing inside, kind of NASCAR package type. Do they go Deshaun Hall? Like, what do you kind of see that front, Jim doing with that front?
Yeah, I think he's going to kick Brandon Graham inside. And one thing that you can question or criticize Schwartz for is that he didn't do that very much over the first handful of games, even when Malik Jackson went out with the injury, where it seemed kind of natural because Graham has operated extraordinarily well from inside, including during the Super Bowl. And you saw a lot of that last week where he set a career high for sacks in a game with three of them, and Schwartz was kind of slow to do that. But the evidence is there. I mean, kick him inside. You know, that's where you're going to generate a lot of the juice. Your point to Deshaun Hall, I mean, he had seven snaps last week, and he had a tackle for a loss and a sack in his own right. I would sprinkle him in a little bit more. And I also think that Josh Sweat is starting to come into his own a bit as well. So I like what I'm seeing, kind of the signs they're getting emitted from the defensive front. And a lot of that, I believe, is related to Fletcher Cox, who hasn't shown up on the stat sheet, but is starting to assert himself more inside. And I think that's having a good effect across the front overall.
Hey, Tim, we're talking with Tim McManus, ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, you're in that locker room. You've been in that locker room through a lot of different situations over many years now. Is there a sense of almost like, okay, let's reset here at this point in the season? We kind of survived our bumps and bruises through the first five games, yet we're still exactly tied at the top of this division with the biggest rival who we'll see next week. Is this kind of like a reset? Like, okay, this is where it really begins, and the run for that NFC East championship begins this weekend?
I think that you're seeing certainly some confidence that's been building up. I think that, I noticed it on the defense in particular, where they're starting to, it all starts with Fletcher Cox. Like, you just see him out on the practice field during warm-ups today, and he's off to, dancing. And the way that he's interacting in the locker room is that there's like a lighter presence about him, and you're seeing that combined with the way that he's starting to get back to his old form. The way, of course, the game that they're coming off of, I think, gives you this huge wave where there's not necessarily carryover from one game to the next, but, confidence is a real thing. And there can be a snowball effect when it comes to sacks. And I do feel like their spirits and their confidence is starting to peak here a little bit, and probably at a really good time, to your point, given that they're going on the road for this three-game gauntlet. So I do kind of get that sense that, the vibe that's being generated from the defense in particular is probably about as positive as I've seen it this season.
All right.
That's a good time for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ultimately, what do you kind of feel? Because do you think that Minnesota, from what I saw, interior part of that line's not that good. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen from the inside, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think like this is going to be one in the, late in the fourth quarter. Everybody's probably going to be sweating, and it comes down to like a play or, a field goal. Does it go in? Does it go out? Like, I think it's going to be that kind of game. I believe that they're going up against a really good defense, and if you look at what they're doing, whether it's against the pass, whether it's against the run, keeping points off the board, and Minnesota has been doing it all. I think that it's a tough matchup without Deshaun Jackson. I'm not expecting the Eagles to put up a bunch of points. And right now I have Minnesota as a 2-point win. But it could very easily be an Eagles 1-point victory. I mean, it's going to be that kind of game, I think, where you're teetering sort of on the edge for the entire time. And, maybe it comes down to a Jake Elliott field goal at the end. I think it's going to be that kind of game that's going to come down to the wire, man. I think it's going to be a good one.
Hey, Tim, last thing. Is there any kind of, have they tipped their hand any kind of provision that they're going to handle these three straight road games from a practice standpoint or do anything differently? We know a couple years ago they were out in L.A. and they stayed out there. That made sense with L.A. and Seattle. Obviously not going to stay somewhere with these games in the proximity. But that being said, is there any kind of difference in the way Doug's going to handle things? He always seems to have his kind of finger on the pulse of what his team needs at the right time.
No, that's a good question. And we did ask him that. And he said he's going to keep it pretty much the way that he has because he only has two. He's traveling out of the time zone. They're both Central Time games, and then of course the one up in upstate New York. So it's not like they have to go West Coast. It's not there's no thoughts about having to stay over anywhere. Then maybe they go a little bit lighter in practice, like on Wednesdays. We've seen that trend with him, given all the road wear and tear that they'll be doing over the next 3 weeks. But otherwise, it's going to be business as usual from Peterson's perspective.
All right. Hey, Tim, great stuff as always.
You're the best, buddy.
We'll be reading you on ESPN.com and the OG. Check it out.
There you go. Always a pleasure, boys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, T-Mac.
Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. And three straight road games. And
I hate the Phillies even more.
And the Phillies are part of the reason why.
Son of a guns.
You and I, like, we pine for the month and the weather of October. And they don't have another game in the month of October at home.
It's unbelievable.
It's like the greatest tailgate weather of all time. We gotta wait till November now. It's terrible.
What it does is it reminds you of the failure that is the Phillies.
It's exactly what it does. As they're setting up at their press conference for 1 o'clock, we're gonna get to the poll in a second, but I gotta read you a tweet from Bob Nightingale. All right.
Uh-oh. I saw it.
You saw it?
Give the people that this is the most absurd tweet in the history of candidates for the Phillies job. This one is the most ridiculous.
Right there with Ruben Amaro Jr., who was floated also by Bob a couple weeks ago. But it says, Bob Nightingale covers Major League Baseball for USA Today. It says, friends close to Curt Schilling say he would love to get back into the game and has significant interest in interviewing for the Phillies managerial opening and or the Red Sox pitching coach job.
So do I. I have interest too.
Yep. Mikey Miss has interest.
Yeah.
I'd vote Mikey Miss over Schill.
No, I mean, really. I mean, is he for real?
I mean, he's too far gone.
What planet? I mean, listen, I know he's... He's telling Bob, put it out there. Like, not for me.
Float it.
Not for me. Put it out there. I'm interested. I mean, come on, dude. You got no prayer. First of all,
he's done too much damage to his reputation.
Forget about it. There's a million and one reasons why he's that's laughable.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, let's check our poll because we're coming up close to the time, Anthony. When the press conference will take place. Let's take a look at our poll brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning and Duct Cleaning. Got a cold wife? Cans can warm her up with special financing and rebates up to $1,925 on a new heating system. Visit MarvinEcans.com for an estimate. So the poll question reads as follows. Do you want to hear the Phillies press conference today at 1 o'clock regarding the firing of Gabe Kapler, or do you want Eagles talk on this Football Friday? 58% of the people have responded and said they want Football Friday. There's three chairs. I saw a picture of the dais. There's three chairs that are present at the dais awaiting an uncomfortable press conference. Presumably in one of those chairs, John Middleton. Presumably Matt Klentak and presumably the one and only Andy McPhail, should they be able to find his cave and he can make it there.
Actually, it's the penthouse of these somewhere or the golf course.
Yeah. So those are presumably the three people that will be on the dais at 1 o'clock. And right now, 58% of the people saying, nah, thanks. I prefer to hear about football.
Yeah, and there's a guy named Chris who responded saying, don't want to waste time with their excuses. A lot of people feeling that
way.
Well,
and that's it. Listen,
that's the sentiment. Yep, you're right.
As a news guy, I would tell you that it would be paramount to carry the news conference if I thought it was going to be anything other than spin. But what you're going to hear, and it's going to aggravate you, but what you're going to hear is complete Philly spin. You're going to hear about how wonderful a job Matt Klentak has done, how John Middleton has traveled the country, and he has sought opinions from everyone, and you're going to hear that the organization, according to people outside and in and around baseball, is so much better than it's ever been under the stewardship of Matt Klentak. So I vote no.
Middleton acts like he was on like a reconnaissance mission, like Luke Wilson was in Behind Enemy Lines, taking photographs of other targets from countries.
Yeah,
you know, to gather all this information that he's taken his private jet all over the country to find.
Look, it's going to be. He loves Klentak. He thinks Klentak is this wunderkind that he is. You know, again.
Well, that's a weakness of his game.
It is not. You know, but he's worked closely with McPhail and Klentak, and you know, he feels like if he made a move with those guys, it's a shot at himself.
All right. So the list of reasonings. One of them will be injuries.
Oh yeah,
bank on that.
Well, Klentak's already been doctor excuse, so he already has gone injuries.
Okay.
Yeah, training staff. Like, you know, my man's great at passing the buck. He's a great excuse guy. Instead of copping to any of his mistakes, he's blamed, big time blamed injuries.
Because I'd love to hear his reasoning for not picking up the phone to call Dallas Keuchel. Like, yeah. I'd like to hear that reason why. Because Keuchel said, you know, he didn't even get it. You know, the phone didn't even ring from the Phillies.
Yeah.
But the Phillies didn't need any pitching.
Yeah, you don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
He's got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that therein lies the problem. Ian in West Phillies on the Fanatic. Hey, Ian.
Afternoon, fellas. Happy Football Friday.
Happy Football Friday, my brother.
Yo, I got before I get into my call, you know, I'm out here just delivering it. It's prime time. It's the sweet spot for delivering weather out here. But before I get to my call, I got a message for the Phillies front office. You ready for this? E-A-T-L-E-O!
Yeah, a lot of times you would say that, you know, that's just a sign of showing them no respect. And other times, like, you hear it at pro sporting events. Like, they did it at the Flyers' home opener, Ant, because they put big Fletcher Cox on the Jumbotron. And he was there with a couple other players. I'm trying to remember who else was with him. Oh, Dallas Goedert was there, too. And they did the Fly Eagles Fly song. The whole stadium sang it during a TV timeout. And the Eagles cheer. And it was outrageous.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Some juice in the stadium, Martinez.
Yeah, it did. It got everybody pumped. And they're on that big new jumbo screen in there. You see, he had the Flyers thing on with number 91 on it. It was cool.
The Eagles are like old school Gatorade. And the Phillies are like Gatorade Zero. You know what I mean? that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, like a Shasta.
Let me hit and run real quick because I got to go. But yo, two points. Number one, when it comes to the Minnesota thing, and you know the deal, it's always going to be the narrative. What is sports about in America just as much as the competition? It's about the narrative and the connection and the stories and how we identify. And that's what's going to always prevail, no matter if all these other cities are doing the same thing. It fulfills a narrative for these other places that Philadelphia are the barbarians. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And then, one quick note. I'm sorry to jump in because I got to go. I got to keep going.
No, that's all right.
Sorry to keep you from work.
And this is also apropos or whatever to what I was just saying. Dude, I think that there is space for a Sixers movie. I know it's hard to get the franchises going, but you've been getting me juiced up off of what you've been writing and talking about it. And I really think that this story has legs because it's all about fresh start. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about. Andy.
Listen, I'm going to be doing a project on it. It's going to be a written project. So, well, I'll keep you abreast of it.
Maybe that written project gets developed into a little movie.
Yeah, I don't know about the movie, but, you know.
A young Mark Wahlberg playing Brett when he was a young lad running around Boston.
It is a great story. No, listen, it's a great story. It's something that I can't get enough of, but kind of doing some research for it is it's really, really fascinating. I mean, it goes between the Colangelo stuff and the
Hinkie
Sam Hinkie stuff, and you know, people told the Josh Harris and David Blitzer, they were nuts to buy this. Like, what do you? Why would you spend all that money? The business is, first of all, it should be a class at Wharton. What they've done, they've done a remarkable job.
Economics class.
It's yeah. unbelievable what they're worth now. I can't tell you. The depths of the story is fascinating. It really is. It's a great story. So I'm with you, Ian.
Yep.
I'm working on it.
And you're on the case. Let me leave you with this tweet before we get to a quick timeout. Another keyword at the top of the hour. Jason tweets in. Frequent tweeter to the show, JasonCC024. He says, rumor has it, Ant, that Andy McPhail, when asked about making it to today's press conference, he had this quote. If I do, I do. And if I don't, I don't. Midday show, live at Chickies and Pete's. We're right here on 97.5 on a football Friday.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey.
The Phillies will have their press conference. We'll just kind of peek in on it. So we're not going to abandon ship totally because, quite frankly, I think more people care about football and, than spin doctoring. it angers me that this whole circus that John Middleton and this crew is putting on the Philadelphia fan base.
Uh-huh.
So, we'll take a peek and listen in. And then we'll move on to football. And I'll hear, here will be the key word. I'll say Carson, Andrew, and you do that. Let me hear. Yes.
Oh, that never gets old.
It never does, no.
The kill never gets old for me. 610-632-0975. First time today, we got a couple open lines if you want to grab one. Let's go to Mary in Mayfair. How you doing, Mary?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Mar? How you been, buddy?
Not too good, eh? You should know why. Did my Dodgers get faced?
Dude, I can't believe it.
I can't believe that he forget how to manage for one game.
I mean, Dave Roberts is a sharp guy. What was he thinking?
What was he thinking? You tell me. Did he owe it to Clayton Kershaw? Why didn't he go with the regular bullpen rotation?
I don't know. I don't know. What a shame.
Yeah,
what a shame.
You got that right. And so I'm still in a little shock. But to move on... You know, the Eagles only won 4 out of 11 in Minnesota. I know everybody's picking. I know they get crazy with the Eagles. And my other point is, if we knock Klentak deservedly, do we have to put a little knock on Howie by not doing more with the defense? Got rid of a lot of linemen. Passed on the linemen that went to Seattle.
Here's the problem, though. They had two linemen go down. Like, Malik, we forget that Malik Jackson... gets hurt early. I thought Malik Jackson was a great signing because if you have Malik Jackson and you have, think about this, Fletcher in the middle, you're collapsing most. If you got a problem interior,
right.
That's a big deal. And then you lose Jernigan on top of it.
Yeah.
But isn't football about injuries in a 16-game
Yeah, but I can't kill Howie. He had two, he lost two defensive linemen. That's a big loss.
Are you impressed with the backfield, though, the defensive backfield?
No, of course not. I mean, Sidney Jones, I've said him, I want a Dalvin Cook over Sidney Jones. I said
Me
then.
Too. Isn't that funny, Ed? I think I talked to you about that.
I'm sure you did. I mean, because we were all over Dalvin Cook.
Yes, we were.
Well, the thing is, too, Mary, he still has time. The trade deadline's not until the 29th.
All right,
so,
we'll see. Yeah. I'm on board, but we'll see.
Yep.
But that's a tough. But the Phillies get him again. It's a tough three-game road trip.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Phillies.
It's like the Phillies flu is now infecting the Eagles.
You got that right, guys.
They
got
to stay away from the Sixers, the Phillies.
You're right.
I don't want any Phillies going near that arena.
Did they got enough outside shooting real quick?
I believe so. I believe
okay. They're
going to win with themselves. It's a new style of new brand of basketball that they're the first, Mer.
Oh, we lost Mer. let's go to... Delaware, and we'll talk to Steve on the Fanatic. Hey, Steve, how you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Ed? What's going on, Jason?
Hey, Stevie.
All right, so let's start off with the Phillies. You missed me with that press conference. All right. I checked out after we started talking about launch angle. When I heard that come out of his mouth, I swear that was the dumbest thing I ever heard a baseball manager say. So I was like, at that point in time, I was expecting them to get fired like immediately after the press conference. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if this guy is the manager, that speaks volumes about who hired him. Because at no point in time did the Phillies ever have an identity the whole season.
Well, they're not the only ones using that launch angle term, but I get what you're saying. They're very pronounced in the analytic approaches. They've overcompensated for the analytics.
It wasn't even that, but just looking at Gabe Kapler and listening to his talk, it's just like nothing about him screamed a manager and a leader
different.
Of a baseball organization. I mean,
it was
not even different. It just you just didn't feel that way at all. Mm-hmm. So I checked out. I just checked out.
Yeah.
So now with the Eagles, there's a couple of factors that are going to go into them winning. On the offensive side, the run game has to be established and it has to be significant. You're going to need to get more out of the receiving core besides Hurts and Jeffrey because they're going to double up on the both of them. So I need to get more out of those receivers, being Nelson Aguilar and company. I need to get more out of them, and I need them to control time of possession and keep that defense on the field by moving the chains.
Yeah.
Defense-wise, I need them to get in Kirk Cousins' face. I need him to be in turf. I need him to be at his worst, uncomfortable throws, back shoulder throws, back foot throws. I need that type of game because they're going to go at that secondary. Thielen and Diggs, they're going to go at that secondary. So you have to get after him early and often and keep him as out of sync as possible because it's going to be either the run or it's going to those couple of guys.
I agree. I think you're dead right, both sides of the ball. It's going to be a big deal without, because their defense is pretty good. So, you know, I mean, I'm with you. I wish Deshaun was playing, but, you know, the fact that he's playing against Dallas makes me feel better. But
well, I mean, I know they were talking about as far as.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.